Christmas Cherry Tree.
Hello, this is Natasha, and this is a medieval story about a miracle that happened at Christmas. The hero is a knight who is both generous and strong, and he had a good-hearted wife who stood by him in good times and in bad, for richer and for poorer. I like this story because the moral at the heart of it shows that sometimes good deeds can rise above money. My lords and ladies, you shall hear of one who lived many generations ago, in the time of King Uther Pendragon, father of the famed King Arthur. I speak of a knight hardy and strong, tall and fair, brave and noble. In all the world there lived no one as courteous, noble or generous as he. To landowners who struggled in times of war, he gave gold. To poor farmers who rented lands from him, he gave food and good cheer. A spare place at his table was always laid, just in case anyone might pay him a visit. This knight had a gentle wife, the best a man could wish for. No woman was more beautiful or more noble in her heart than she was. Dame Clarice was her name. Of goodness she had truly. Together they brought gladness to many a soul. No man, rich or poor, felt any ill will against them. Every year, Sir Kleges, for that was the name of this noble knight, would hold a feast at Christmas time. No king celebrated that day in greater style than he. Rich and poor came to his feast. He would turn away no man. Friars paid him with blessings, minstrels with music. Those were the highest prices he would ask for his food. And when the feasting was over, the guests would not leave without gifts. He gave freely of robes, horses, silver, and even gold. All this he did in honour of him who was born in a manger on that day. But his wealth dwindled with each passing year. He would not give up his feasting or his gifts. He let mortgaged, even sold his lands to pay for his generosity, until at last he had almost nothing left. The Christmas feasting had to end. He lived meekly with his good wife and two children, and of luxuries they knew no more. One Christmas Eve, Sir Kleges was walking up and down in his garden when he heard the sound of trumpets, pipes, drums, harps and cymbals. He could hear carols and dancing. The sound of merriment brought back memories of his past feasts and festivities. He knew well that the music came from the court of King Uthra, who was at Cardiff for Christmas. But the king had not invited his loyal knight to join his table for the festivities. He had either forgotten him or thought that he was dead. Sir Kleges wrung his hands and began to pray piteously. O Jesus, heavenly King, you made everything out of nothing. I thank you for times past, for the merriment I used to make. I gave freely for your sake. I fed both rich and poor. Those who dined at my table did not lack for any meat or game or good drinks. Of the cost I thought nothing. And now, here I stand, a poor man at your service, overlooked and forgotten by all mortal men, high and low. As he stood mourning so, his wife came to him and enfolded him in her arms. She kissed him with glad heart and said, "My true husband, I heard what you were saying. It does not help to have sad thoughts, so let your sorrow be gone. Everyone should be happy on this day and be glad with what they have got. So let us go inside and be merry and eat our dinner joyfully." "Of course," said Sir Kleges, and with somewhat better cheer he quickly wiped the tear from his cheek and went inside to eat his food. After they had eaten, they took great delight in playing with their two children. And at midnight they went to church and asked God to keep them clothed and fed. On Christmas morning, Sir Kleges went into his garden. He kneeled on the snow-covered ground before his favourite cherry tree and prayed once again. When he had finished, he reached up for a branch to help him stand. As he rose, the bough broke in his hand. He noticed that it bore green leaves and that there were ripe round cherries clustered around it. He said, "Dear God, what manner of berries are these that grow at this time of year?" And then he picked a cherry and tried it. It was the most delicious fruit he had tasted since he was a small boy. He cut off a little branch and took it to his wife to show her. "My dear, here is a novelty," he said. "I found these growing in our garden, cherries in midwinter. I'm afraid it is some ill omen, a warning to me for my sorrow and grieving." "Why, no," said his wife. "Rather, it is a sign that goodness is coming to us. Tomorrow at first light, take the cherries to Cardiff and the king. You will have no better gift than this." When it was daylight, she prepared a large basket full of cherries. She told their eldest son to carry it on his back and walk behind his father to Cardiff. And so they set off, not on a steed or pony, but Cecletius' walking stick was his only support. When they arrived at the gates of the castle, the porter saw his poor clothing and said, "You shall turn around and leave smartly without delay, or by God and Saint Mary I shall break your head. Go and stand in the beggar's row, that's the place for you." But Sir Cleegy said, "Good sir, I pray you, let me go in. I have a present for the king. Here, look." And the porter went over to the basket and lifted the lid. When he saw the cherries, he marvelled and said, "If I let you pass, you must promise me a third of whatever reward the king shall grant you for this gift, be it silver or gold." And Sir Cleges replied, "I consent." On his way to the banqueting hall, he met an usher of the court who said, "Go, vassal, get out of my sight, and if I find you again within these walls, I shall beat your head and your limbs without a moment's regret." At this, Sir Cleges said, "Good sir, stay your anger, be gentle and good, for I have brought a present for the king. See here, these fruits grew this Christmas season in my garden. They are the fairest cherries that ever man did see." And when the usher saw the cherries, he was amazed and said, "If you grant me a third part of whatever you may win for these, then indeed you may go on." And as Sir Cleges had no other choice, he agreed to the usher's terms, and into the hall he went with his son and the basket. As they entered the hall, the steward saw them. He went up to Sir Cleges and said, "Who make you so bold as to come in here uninvited? Turn around smartly and get out." And Sir Cleges replied, "See, good sir, I have brought gifts for the king." And when the steward saw what he had brought, he exclaimed, "By Mary, I never saw such fruits at this time of year. You shall go before the king, but only if you promise me a third part, whatever you shall receive." Sir Clergy stood and thought to himself that betwixt these three men he would divide all that he had received. For all his trouble he would win nothing. As he did not reply right away, the steward demanded, "Have you no tongue? Give me your answer directly without delay, or I shall beat your rags with my stick." And seeing that he had no other choice, Sir Cleegy said, "Very well. Whatever the king shall reward, you shall have a third part." The steward brought Sir Cleges before the king, where he knelt and uncovered the basket. "Great king," he said, "these fruits grew in my garden this Christmas time, and I have brought them to you as a gift." The king saw the cherries fresh and new and said, "Truly this is the work of our Lord." And he commanded Sir Cleges to sit down and join the feast. The king sent a portion of the cherries to a radiant and fair lady in Cornwall, and he commanded the rest to be served around the hall. When all had eaten and were glad, the king commanded, "Bring before me the poor man who gave me the cherries." And Sir Kleges knelt again before the king, and the king said,
"I thank you heartily for the gift you have brought me. It has honoured my feast. Whatever you will have, I will grant you. Whatever your heart desires, be it lands or serfs or goods."
And Sir Kleges replied, "Great king, I ask nothing but 12 strokes of my stick that I might give freely to my enemies around this castle." On hearing this, the king was angry and said,
"I am sorry that I have granted you this gift. Better that you asked for silver or gold, for you have more need of it. Nevertheless, if this is your wish, let my debt to you be paid with blows."
And Sir Kleges went into the hall and sought the steward to give him his reward. He dealt him such a blow that he knocked him down, and then he gave him 3 more. On leaving the hall, he found the usher and told him, "Here's the 3rd part of my gift that I promised you." And he beat him 4 times with his stick. And then he found the porter and gave him his reward with the words, "I keep bargain. Take this, and this, and this, and this." And while Sir Kleges was busy paying back his enemies, the king sat in his chamber and listened to a minstrel. The minstrel sang of a great knight who had served him in years past, one who was full of fortune, nobility, and grace. His name was Sir Kleges. And the king listened. Memories came back to him, and he realized that he had seen the good knight that very evening.
"Why was that not him who knelt before me in the hall?" exclaimed the king.
"Sire, indeed it was," replied the minstrel. When word reached the lords and ladies of the court of how Sir Kleges had paid back the porter, the usher, and the steward, they all laughed heartily and thought that it was good sport. The king called Sir Kleges before him, and this time he gave him lands and forests and a cup of gold to take to his wife. He made his son a squire and gave him fine clothes to wear. Every year after that, Sir Kleges and his wife celebrated Christmas with good food, music, merriment and gifts, and they lived in great happiness until the Lord sent for them. And that was the story of the Christmas cherry tree. Bertie says that he freely adapted it from an ancient poem called Sir Kleges. This is a flavour of the original poem from the Middle English dialect. "With mirth they drove the day away, the best way that they might, and with their childer play their deed, and after evening song went to bead at certain of the night." And this Christmas, we are working on some other stories that have a medieval feel. We have loads more stories of every sort. And this Christmas, we are working on some other stories that have a medieval feel. And we have loads more stories of every sort on storynori.com. So drop by soon and listen to some. For now, from me, Natasha, Happy Christmas!